today on Real Radio.
Listen, maybe tonight you're not walking with Jesus. I don't know. Maybe tonight you've been struggling for days, weeks, months, or years. I don't know. But have you noticed if you're a true Christian, the stuff the world throws at you never satisfies you? The reason why is because you're not home yet. The world can flash its model home appeal to you, but the truth is you're not home yet.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called What Are We Waiting For? Part 1, continues now in a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. Isaiah, you know, was God's prophet in ancient Judah between the years 740 and 700 BC. Isaiah brought comfort and truth to the Jewish people, but he was also God's voice of judgment when they refused to turn from their sins. The book of Isaiah also has the most quoted verses in the Bible when it comes to the birth, the life, and the death of Jesus Christ. And Isaiah's prophecies go far into the future when Christ returns in the second coming. In Isaiah chapter 24, we learned that Isaiah was given a series of visions about the last days. During the Great Tribulation period, those left on earth will suffer greatly at the hands of the Antichrist because they refused to turn to Jesus Christ for salvation. Now in chapter 25, we'll see that there are some things we don't have to wait for. We can experience them now, but there are other things we do have to wait for, and they'll be well worth the wait. So today, Pastor Jack tells us that, you know, when you walk through a model home, it's designed to impress you. The air is clean and it's fragrant. It gives you a feeling of a fresh start. And that's exactly what we're waiting for. God's promise of a real, honest-to-goodness model world, if you will. And now, in his lesson called What Are We Waiting For? Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
I don't know if you're not anything, or maybe you are like Lisa and I, when it comes to model homes. Do you have a fancy to stop and look at model homes? There's something about a model home. We see the signs and they put the flags up and we got to pull over. Pull over! Now, mind you, we've never bought a model home. We've gone through model homes. We love to do that. I don't know why we do that, except that looks like people live there, but not exactly. Just enough to appeal to you. It's the best the world can offer. It's all about living. It's all about signs like, make this your home. This can be your house. All it needs is you. And they try to appeal to you that way, and I get that part, but we look at that stuff for like ideas, which is funny, because we have never yet incorporated one of those ideas into our house. In our house, mind you, we've lived in the same house for over 30 years, and when we bought it, it was old. And there's just something about the fact that as wonderful as that model home was or is, it's not home for us. In fact, as at home as we are in our house of 30 plus years, we're still not at home in it. You know what I mean? We're not at home. The world can give us the stuff that it promises us or wants us to be hooked to, but it's still not satisfying. I'm so grateful for that. Listen, maybe tonight you're not walking with Jesus. I don't know. Maybe tonight you've been struggling for days, weeks, months, or years. I don't know. But have you noticed if you're a true Christian, the stuff the world throws at you never satisfies you? The reason why is because you're not home yet. The world can flash its model home appeal to you, but the truth is you're not home yet. What are you waiting for? You're waiting for the absolute and ultimate and final fulfillment of God's word to us. And for the believer, that comes in very serious, wonderful stages. And we're going to learn about some of those things tonight. And so as I mentioned, these next three chapters is coming like a train down the track in the sense that it's delivering to us what it's going to be like in the model world when Christ returns. It's not only just about a house and a living and a space and a place for us to be as believers in the millennial kingdom. The fact that the Lord will bring his model government. Aren't you looking forward to a model government that's engineered by God? By way of introduction, church, and there's going to be a little bit of an introduction for this. when the Lord comes back, we need to understand that as Christians tonight. If you're a Christian tonight, we need to break up the Lord's coming back into two stages, because that's the fact this evening. You've heard me lovingly joke around by using this kind of phraseology that the Lord could come back tonight by rapture or by rupture. Your heart could explode and you could meet Jesus tonight. You could get an aneurysm, you could choke on a banana, whatever it is, you could die tonight, and the Christian would go home to be with Jesus. That's one way of going home. What are you waiting for? Well, you could go home tonight, all of us could, that way. It'd be kind of weird if all of us died at the same time that way, but the better way is not rupture, is rapture. And so listen, in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13, by way of rupture or death, the believer goes home by death. That's one way to go. He says, but I do not want you to be ignorant or uninformed, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. The word is referencing the human body. When someone dies, it looks like they're sleeping. Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have died in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord. Verse 15 is the closest you'll ever get to in the New Testament of an Old Testament proclamation. When it says by the word of the Lord, that is Paul saying, thus saith the Lord. Wow. That we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede or go up, precede those who have fallen asleep or died in Jesus. If you die, you see Jesus tonight if you're a Christian. That's good news. But in verse 16, he introduces us to the awesome thing that we're living for right now, and that is the rapture. Until we die and until our ministry's ended here, it could be that it's interrupted by rapture. That is the Lord coming. Read on. Verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Their bodies will be resurrected. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, verse 18, comfort one another with these words. Paul the apostle taught that. It's either by death for the Christian or by rapture. Think of that. Listen, it's going to be one way or the other for you and I. You and I tonight. Us here. Either by death or by rapture, you'll meet the Lord as a believer. I love the fact that regardless of either event in our lives, there is no soul sleep. There is no unconsciousness. There is no never land. It is now with Jesus. If you die today as a believer, you see Jesus. If the rapture happens, you see Jesus. That is the awesome fact of the Bible. There's no lonely place. There's no such thing as purgatory in the Bible. There's no waiting tank someplace. There's no redos. It's him in a moment of time. John 14, verse 1 to 3. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Oh, that's good news. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house. Model house. Better than a model house. A real house. Are many mansions. The word mansions, it's kind of funny. People want to argue about that word. Should they have translated it mansions? In the English, well, the word in the Greek is mansions. Did you know that? In the original scripture, it's mansions. What does that mean? I don't know. I'm not even going to try to touch that. Is that like Bel Air? I don't think so. That would be disappointing. It's a word, it's a meaning so fantastic that the King James translator said, mansions. Actual dwelling places for each believer. Go figure. That's why I think I need to give up on visiting model homes. It's not going to matter. Mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And I love that because he's a carpenter. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus is coming back. And we, the church, Christian believers, will be with Jesus absolutely for sure in that moment when that happens. And the Bible tells us that for at least 7 years, the believers will be with the Lord in heaven above. At least 7 years. It could be longer, we don't know. But we know for 7 years. That we know for sure. Shortest period of time, 7 years, the believers will be with the Lord in heaven. Again, could be longer. We speculate any time beyond 7 years. But the fact of the matter is he's coming to take us where he is. Church, take your index finger on your hand. Take your index finger. This is your index finger. And point to where Jesus is. How many of you guys have been Christian? Were you Christians in the 70s? Do you remember that? Yes, Lord. He's coming. One way, Jesus. Look up. Maranatha. Remember that? Boy. Awesome. Jesus Christ will return and he's going to fulfill so many promises of the scripture. But I don't want you to be confused with what we just talked about regarding the rapture and what is technically described here in chapter 25 as the second coming events. The second coming is when he physically returns to earth to establish his kingdom. It's at least 7 years after the rapture. It is an actual, listen, this is serious tonight. It's an actual return of Jesus Christ to create or to establish a new world order, his world order. And it is going to be unlike anything that world has ever seen before. And the Bible calls that the millennium. I want you to make sure you get this. Look it on the screen. The millennium or the millennial reign of Christ. Millennial. What is that word? You're looking at a Latin word there. The millennium or millennial reign of Christ. Listen, it's taken out of Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. And it says, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The word millennium is a word that is compound in Latin. That is a Latin word. And milli is 1,000. And anem is a year. That's where we get the 1,000 years. Some of you, because this is Calvary Chapel, there are people who are from all kinds of denominational backgrounds. And some of you have been taught in your upbringing that the millennium is not an actual 1,000 years. It's symbolic language. It's too bad the angels didn't know that. It's too bad Jesus didn't know that. It's too bad John didn't know that when he penned the Revelation. No, the truth is, it's an actual 1,000 years. In fact, listen, everybody, if Jesus Christ does not return physically to earth and reign for 1,000 years, then the Jesus you know tonight is not the right Jesus. That's how important it is that he has to return. The Jesus Christ that you and I claim to know and believe has to return. If he doesn't, he's not the right one. That's how important it is. Well, our church told us that it's all poetic language. Our church, where I came from, told us it was all symbolic. It's not. It's actual. It's factual. Jesus is coming again. In fact, in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, the Bible tells us, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of who? David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Turned out to be the Christmas greeting, but verse 30, then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will, listen, give him the throne of his father, who? David. That's not in heaven. It's never been in heaven. It's never said to be in heaven. It's always said to be on earth, and he will reign over the house of Jacob, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. Acts 1, verse 9. These verses you ought to write down in your margins of Isaiah chapter 25. Acts 1, 9. Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he, Jesus, was taken up in a cloud, received them up out of their sight. And while they looked steadfast toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, glistening clothing, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go to heaven. He's coming back. Luke 17:24. Jesus said, for as the lightning that flashes out of the one part under heaven and shines to the other part of heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. He's coming and everybody will see him. Revelation 1:7. Behold, he is coming with clouds, Shekinah. He's not coming on a cloudy day. He creates his own cloud of glory. And every eye will see him. Everybody on earth will see him return. Even they who pierced him, the Jewish people, the nation. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Verse 8, look at it's written in red. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Awesome. So church, what are we waiting for? Number one, jot it down. It's found in verse 1. It is this, that we are waiting for worship to be realized. Isaiah chapter 25, verse 1. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. Mark it. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things. Your counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. The first thing that we see right here, what are we waiting for? Mark it down, church, if you would. It is this, ultimate worship to be realized. We sang tonight, we worship tonight, and we need to do that more. You've heard me say that often. We need to respond. Now, this is amazing to me, but the act or better, I should say the react or the reaction, I was gonna say the act of the Christian. It's actually, worship is the reaction of the Christian as to what God has personally done in our lives and what he has revealed to us. So judge yourself. I'll judge me right now. Am I a worshiper of God? Is it a premium in my life? That will only be true if I am realizing that God is worthy of my praise. A lot of Christians do not participate in worship because they don't see the value to it. Why? How is that possible? Because they don't appreciate what he's done. They're not mindful. They don't really care. Question to you, I'm not soliciting a public response, you just think about it. Is it possible to be a real follower of Jesus Christ and not hold worship in high esteem in your life? At least I'll say this, can you be a committed Christian? Can you be a committed Christian and not entertain worship in your life? I think a believer, because the Holy Spirit dwells in you, will provoke you to worship. I think the Holy Spirit will open your eyes and my eyes to thank God, not for what you don't have, but for what you do have. Listen, when we get caught up in the model house world, we have a tendency to not be thankful. Now, we can be a believer and be derailed. We can be a believer and be sidetracked where we're not happy. We're not happy because we don't have that car. We're not happy because we don't have that health. We're not happy because we don't have that person in our life. Or we're not happy because we don't have that level of income. And when we look at those things, what did John the Baptist say to the Roman centurions? Why don't you be content with your pay? The Christian is to be content with their pay. Boy, is that foreign language today in our culture? The Christian is to be content. Paul the Apostle said that we should be content having food and clothing. We should be happy. We could get easily caught up. But what are we waiting for in all of that? I think the Bible tells us that we ought to be waiting for worship to be realized. But we nurture that. We begin to practice now the things that we're thankful for. And that is number one, above all things. Listen, above all things, you should be the very person of God. His person. His personality. You see, his personality. How do you, Jack, what do you mean his personality? Listen, when I read about his nature, many of you are going through the home groups, right? Of Behold Your God. Great study about the personality of God. His personality. What is he like? What is he like when someone is suffering? What's he like? What's he like when people are caught in sin and they repent? What's he like about that? Is he mean or is he forgiving? When someone's hungry, what is he like when someone's hungry? When someone's scared or fearful, what is he like? His personality. You can know that tonight. He doesn't have to be foreign to us. The Christian is very serious about getting to know this God that we're to worship. Worship should never be forced. It should never be conjured up. Look, I want to be careful with what I say because I am getting older, so I confess that up front. But I have a great example to follow. Chuck Smith died at a ripe old age. The amazing thing for me is that Chuck was never old when it came to worship. I was shocked, and I shared this with some of you not too long ago, but it comes to my mind again tonight. Regarding worship, God is always contemporary, and so our worship needs to always be contemporary, but don't mistake when I say contemporary, I do not mean carnal. When I say contemporary, I mean relevant, but I do not mean of earthly passions. What do I mean exactly? In our lives as believers, the Holy Spirit is always ministering in all levels, in all of life. But never does he compromise, never does he sin against himself to, what, gender worship? And so when we come to the Lord, the Bible warns us that when we worship God, when we come to the Lord, we need to come being led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So when we parade people up as worship rock stars or, right, a worship setting whereby people become the focal point, I don't think it's good. You say, Jack, you're just old. I am old, but I still don't think it's good. And my pastor always gave us this example because he was always open to have someone sing hymns, and then the next week you didn't know what you were going to get at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. Sometimes, in fact, we sang one of the songs tonight, Gia Lettuce, in one of the songs that Fernando Ortega repopularized. It was an old hymn, but he made it fresh. And then tonight we sang a hymn. And then tonight, did you notice? Did you catch it? We sang one of Phil Wickham's songs tonight. Did you catch that? You did. I love that. When you were turning to greet one another, I thanked both of the leaders tonight. I just said, thank you. That was awesome. Why? To me, it was just really preciously balanced. But here's the thing. It wasn't for me. You say, well, I didn't like three of the songs. I liked four of them, but I didn't like the three tough. They weren't for you and they weren't for me. They were for the Lord. And here's the deal. Did you participate? Did you get into that? Or did you sit back and judge the song? I don't know about that one. You did not worship. You did not worship. You didn't worship unless you packaged that song and made it your own and presented it to him. When we worship, we are giving to him the expression of our heart. And a worship leader like David was a worship leader. David expressed things where people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called, What Are We Waiting For? Part 1. Thanks for joining us today. And, you know, we shouldn't wait for Christ to return before our lives are a constant praise towards him. What Are We Waiting For? Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. It's a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, August's book of the month is now available. It's called I Never Thought I'd See the Day, by pastor and well-known author David Jeremiah. I Never Thought I'd See the Day details the numerous signs that are weakening America's culture as we know it today. There's an increase in spiritual warfare. Socialism is creeping in while marriage, the foundation of the family, is becoming obsolete. Christianity is also being attacked while America turns its back on Israel. Can this downward spiral be reversed? David Jeremiah says yes, but only if one person at a time returns to God with all of their heart, with genuine worship to the Lord, serving by helping others, and in giving and in prayer. Again, August's book of the month is called I Never Thought I'd See the Day by David Jeremiah. And you can buy this book right now at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.